The regular meeting of the Board of Education to order on Wednesday, May 21st at 6 p.m. Please stand.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Number three, roll call. Grandall here. Hedwell.
Here.
Cherry.
Here.
Gracie.
Here.
Hanson.
Here.
DeShane.
Here.
Siebert.
Here.
Number four, approval of the agenda.
I make the motion.
Motion by Chris.
Second.
Seconded by Sunny. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carried. Number five, consider motion to approve consent agenda.
I'll make a motion to approve the minutes of the regular meeting, April 16th, 2025. Minutes of the special meeting, May 12th, 2025. Minutes of the reorganizational special meeting, May 14th, 2025. General fund vouchers, voids 108537, 108961 for $151.88. ACHs 242500191 through 242500205 for $22,695.13. Check numbers 108996 through 109160 for $364,123.39. Wire transfers 202400070 through 202400075 for $197,491.10 for a total of $584,309.62.
Motion by Lyle.
I'll second.
Seconded by Kim. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carried. Number six, public input. Participants must be recognized by the presiding officer and will be requested to preface their comments by an announcement of their name. Each statement made by a participant shall be limited to 3 minutes duration. No participant may speak more than once on the same topic unless all others who wish to speak on that topic have been heard. And lastly, I may interrupt, warn, or terminate a participant's statement when the statement is too lengthy, personally directed, abusive, obscene, or irrelevant. So, public comment.
Amy, I'd like to speak.
Okay.
My name is Jeff Ott, and I think all of you know me for the two new board members. At the last board meeting, I mentioned that I sat down with Mrs. Robinson during the beginning of April and suggested that we survey the girls on one of our varsity teams this year about their experiences playing. She agreed, and that survey was completed 2 weeks ago. I'm asking you now to request a copy of those survey results to be included in your board packet for the next meeting. There will be no names on this survey, there are none. So there is no issue of confidentiality, okay, when receiving a copy of each. In fact, I would be suspicious if they were not turned over. Transparency is the key to resolving this situation. Each of these responses will tell you a story of what took place directly from the people involved in this athletic program. This is not a survey completed by angry parents. This is not a survey to be used to fill the pages of the Peshawar Times. These are the survey of the young student athletes that the seven of you are responsible for. These surveys will detail to you how these students athletes were treated, how they felt about their mental health during the course of the season, and it will give you an idea very quickly if something needs to be done. If the results of the survey reflect positive experiences and strong mental health among our athletes, that will be a welcome outcome. If, on the other hand, they reveal a different reality, one of harm, neglect, or intimidation, then immediate and permanent change is not optional, it is required. There is absolutely no room here for selfish decisions about what would be the easiest for Cribbett School District. The mental health and well-being of these girls must be our number one priority. This survey and each individual story should make your decision very simple.
I'm here on behalf of some of the girls that started the food service survey request, because they all had baseball games tonight. But just to make sure that you all take into account, I don't know how the survey, you guys are all going to talk about it and how it ended up, but I would hope that you consider, regardless of how it ended up, feeding our children healthier, whether we have to change or not. All right.
All right, I can go. Justin Pujic, the parent. On the May 14th special meeting, two of our highest-ranking board members expressed concerns about public comments containing slander. But here's what I wonder. Isn't the word slander a term restricted to false statements? Another question, isn't slander meant to harm an individual? What if things are brought forward in good faith to protect innocent children? Is this still slander? Another question, is the school board concerned that our school district may have a sex culture epidemic? And if it was shown that such an epidemic has taken root within our faculty, wouldn't it be easy to trace the source or sources of that epidemic through anonymous surveys conducted by an external professional trained in this field? In the name of transparency, I suggest we figure out if this problem exists by conducting anonymous, multi-question surveys issued to students with absolute guarantees of no retaliation and guarantees of whistleblower protection for all students. In my estimation, in order for our school administration to ever have a chance of being trusted again by its community, the words external investigation and externally conducted surveys need to become part of our administration's vocabulary in the very near future. Administration and school board, I am telling you point blank, I have concluded, and many others have concluded, that your community and your parents do not trust your ability to handle things internally. From speaking with community members, I can confidently tell you that you have lost the community's trust. And the only way you get that trust back is by running external investigations and external surveys in matters that are responsible for protecting our children. Now I appeal to you to do exactly that. I would like to ask the question very simply, would you support anonymous surveys to students with guarantees of whistleblower protections conducted by an outside source to determine if we have a sex culture problem? I direct the question to you, Madam President Amy Grandel. Would you support that?
This isn't an item on the agenda, so I'm not going to interact.
I'm just giving you the opportunity to say if you would support that.
I will not make a decision on that right now.
Okay.
All right, next. All right, going once. Going twice. Right. Number 7, correspondence recognition.
Hang on, gotta find my notes. Julie, this is where we are. Hang on, sorry. I have lots of papers here.
We signed
Yeah, no, it's all right. I'll just go into the board packet. Okay. That's good. I got them. Oh, thanks. All right. May 5th through the 9th was Teacher and Staff Appreciation Week. I'd like to recognize and thank all of the staff in the School District of Krivitz for their hard work that makes our school district as great as it is. Their time and dedication make a difference every day. Then, I would also like to recognize our retiring staff for their years of service and dedication to the district. So we only have one here. I'm going to announce the other ones with their years first. We have Missy Grzynski retiring with 22 years of service. We have Ann Marlott retiring with 27 years of service. We have Sherry Kwiatkowski retiring from food service, not bus driving, with 19 years of service. Let me just be clear of that. We are not letting her leave the busing. And then we have Julie Bushmaker with 38 years of service.
You were worried about the dress.
Oh, no, I'll give it to you. Yeah, I'll give you that.
Thank you. This will go right next to my deer head.
Perfect. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, that's correspondence recognition.
That's all it?
Yep, that's everything.
All right, number eight, reports, committee reports, personnel negotiations. Tonight, and we are bringing to the full board a recommendation to do a 3% increase for admin and support staff, the hiring of a full-time speech and language pathologist as a virtual employee, since virtual is our only option, and then a recommendation to keep community ed the supervisor position the way it currently is. So, B, administrative reports, Kelly Robinson.
Right, I have that paper out. So, in addition to those retirements that I just gave out plaques for, I was notified earlier this week of another retirement. Our occupational therapist, Maria Knippel, has decided to retire. I'm working with our director of special ed and CISA 8 to find the best way to fill that position. I know that Mr. Bauman and Mr. White will talk about graduation, but I would like to commend all of our staff on the job that they did at graduation. It was a wonderful celebration of our students' accomplishments. Quick reminder about 8th grade recognition, Tuesday, June 3rd at 6 p.m. And then you are also in your blue folders have the invite for 4K graduation, which is always adorable. Wednesday, June 4th at 1:30 p.m. That is held in the elementary gym. And last but not least, the last day of school for the 2024-2025 school year for staff and students is Thursday, June 5th.
Thank you, Mr. Bauman.
Hey, first of all, prom was a great success this year. Once again, the dance took place in the high school gymnasium on Saturday, April 26th at 7 p.m. A large number of parents came to the dance to watch the grand march. The juniors went out and walked across the stage, and the team was clean with all players. I'd like to congratulate Colton Carman and Mr. Chief for being chosen this year's team and team. A big thank you to Mrs. Myers and the class officers for the great work organizing the event and decorating beforehand and cleaning after. Secondly, we just finished the busiest week of the school year at the middle high school. Senior exams took place last Wednesday and Thursday. We held a graduation practice on Friday at 9. The seniors traveled to the elementary school for their graduation parade at 10:45. Senior award ceremony took place at 11:20. End of the year picnic ran from 11:20 to 3:30 on Friday. Then finally, the graduation ceremony went very smoothly on Saturday at noon, and we finished at 1:08, even though I predicted 1:07 before it started. And lastly, I just had the 8th grade recognition. The fact that it's taking place June 3rd at 6 p.m. Ceremony will be held in the middle high school gymnasium. As an incentive, the 8th grade students who passed all their classes during fourth quarter will officially be done with school that night. The others will be expected to attend the last 2 days.
Thank you. Mrs.
Dingle.
Okay. Earlier this month, so this is the week of May 5th, we had nearly 70 sixth graders attend Camp Bird. Unlike the last couple years, they had beautiful weather the entire time they were at camp. Throughout the week, students participated in a variety of activities, including archery, border safety, and they hiked through the woods during the famous Death March. More impressively, students spent an entire week with no cell phones or electronic devices, and they lived to tell about it. We are excited to recognize our speech therapist, Mrs. Camps, as our April Staff Member of the Month. Mrs. Camps was nominated because she embodies compassion, professionalism, flexibility, dedication, and she always has a smile on her face. Mrs. Camps has been supporting Privet students since 1986. We'd like to thank Mr. Bauman and the graduating seniors on Friday morning. Privet seniors walked the elementary halls in their caps and gowns. This is always a very exciting event for our elementary students who love to interact with older students. And I'm excited to report that tomorrow we will host our first ever Northwoods Junior Olympics, where fourth and fifth grade students from Krivitz, Lena, and Wasaki will compete in various track and field events. The event will take place at Krivitz High School. Parents and grandparents are welcome to attend, and we are hoping to make this an annual event.
Awesome, thank you. Mr. White's not here, so.
I have it. All right. As Mr. Ballman noted, last week was a busy one for the custodial maintenance crew as we prepared for the graduation ceremonies to be held May 17th. Setup included building the stage platform, setting over 600 folding chairs in place, and ensuring the grounds and facilities were in top condition for this event. Middle high school lighting upgrade consultation. I met with a design engineer to discuss potential lighting upgrades at the high school. During our meeting, we reviewed existing lighting conditions and explored improvement options. The firm will be providing us with several upgrade options along with budget pricing for discussion at a future Buildings and Grounds Committee meeting. Irrigation system repairs. Discovered during system startup, the irrigation system at the middle high school experienced issues due to frozen and broken underground pipes. Our contracted service provider is currently working on repairing the broken pipes and restoring the affected areas of turf. Mr. White.
All right, Mr. Schramm.
Okay, good evening. Since the April meeting, our new Chromebooks have arrived and are currently on site. I placed a new desktop board the morning following the April regular meeting, however, those have not yet arrived. It's not unusual or unexpected at this point, especially if the vendor orders a custom build from the manufacturer, as it naturally takes longer to produce and ship custom build orders. I reached out to my account rep earlier today for an update to see how things are coming along so I can monitor progress. Senior Chromebook turn-in took place on Monday, May 21st. For seniors, it was one of the best years we've had for missing or damaged equipment, including all fees. All but one senior was physically present to turn in their equipment, which was a definite plus. Chromebook turn-in for grades 7 through 11 began early this morning and will conclude for junior class tomorrow afternoon. And finally, I'm in the midst of installing equipment, completing our systems, and working with vendors to stream our baseball and softball games. The baseball field's last most significant phase occurred today, so it should be up and running very soon. A bit of work will be needed to outfit the softball field, so we will tackle what we can this summer. That's all I have.
Awesome, thank you. Information discussion, food service survey summary.
Okay, in your board packets is a summary. So the results, the first few questions are put into a couple different charts that you can see. Obviously, you can look at that and process it yourself. The one I will explain is the very last chart, back of the first page. The question is, what factors are priorities when considering meals for your children from school? And so at the top, it gives the key. There's the highest priority, a concern but not a priority, and then not a priority. So at the top and all the way to the left in each of the bar graphs, the blue is taste slash attractiveness to students. Red is low sugar. Yellow, gold is high protein. Green is the low processed foods. And then you can't see that. Let me put this here. The purple is homemade meals. And the light blue is that meals are free. So those are just the two, like, on the key that you can't see. I wanted to make sure that you can see that. And then, so first two pages are the charts of the questions, and the last two questions on the survey were open-ended and giving feedback. So the next 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 pages is all that feedback. So the board can have discussion. We don't have it on the agenda for any action because we don't have to take action on the CEP, the free meals at this point. If we're looking at hiring the staff, again, because it wouldn't start until fall, like, we don't have to take action on that yet. I felt like that gives you guys extra time to really process it, think about it, ask questions for a future meeting. But this is the time to, you know, like, set right now for discussion on that survey. It's a lot of information. We had 139 responses. So, that's pretty good. Families, I think we don't ask me why I know this, but we have like 530 individual families in the district. So,
I would say it's probably pretty, Out of all the comments, I'd say FTC is probably pretty close to 50-50, if not a touch more, saying, you know, charge extra for better food.
Yeah.
Am I allowed to say anything?
That's up to the board, but yeah, I mean, are you good with her?
Yep.
Again, food service?
The charge for students for better quality food, the state regulates that we can only charge an extra 10 cents each year. The meal charge can only go up 10 cents. So it doesn't actually reflect back onto the families. This is something that would have to come out of a different budget or...
And I think where that kind of, the discussion was that last summer when it was decided to offer the free meals to all students, we knew we don't have a high enough free and reduced population to make it come out even. We're going to be in the hole when it comes to food service.
Do we have those numbers yet or not yet?
We do not.
Until the end of July, or in June?
In schools, yeah.
Are you supposed to get summer school yet?
Summer school is different, but the end of school. So the more homemade or less packaged foods, what we're saying is that will require extra staffing, which obviously comes out, then is a hit to the budget. It costs more for that. So by having a hit to the budget with the free meals for all students and a hit to the budget for extra staffing, that's where we're like, it feels like we have to do one or the other, because it would be such a large hit to the budget to do both. And that's where the discussion, you know, obviously we had people come talk about it, and, you know, you guys are ultimately the ones to make the decision. I think, tell me if you feel I'm wrong, but the ladies who came to talk about it really talked a lot about breakfast. So I know, like, there's some feedback on here because the question was a little bit more directed about, you know, the more healthy breakfast. So there's feedback on both sides of that also, because the breakfast, they eat it in their classrooms, and in order to get it out of the cafeteria, or out of the kitchen, I should say, into the classrooms, it is more packaged, so it's less mess, it's not as homemade. There are some options to still do it that way. It just would take extra staff to make the meals, get them out to the students in their classrooms every morning. So that's where kind of, you know, it feels like we have to pick between the two. With, it's not necessarily charging more, it's charging, but
it's more time consuming because you have to worry about your food safe and the food has to be a certain temperature. When it's,
yeah, absolutely. Time of the staff. But those who qualify for free and reduced lunch would still qualify. So even with going to back to how it was where meals are charged, those that always have qualified for free and reduced, they still will qualify. It's just the ones who don't qualify would be paying, like it always was before this year.
Right.
So.
And I think we've always said, people that could get free and reduced lunch don't like to put in for it.
Some of
it
them.
Seems like it.
We get a lot that are picked up through directly certified, which means they're on some kind of an assistant program. We try and push for everybody to fill out the food service application.
Mm-hmm. Everybody. We try to get everybody.
Yeah,
everybody. That's ideal. I've
even if if they think they might be close,
mm-hmm.
it could be a matter of just a couple dollars a month that they actually then qualify.
I went to a session during the board convention on some food service stuff. It did not end up being what I thought it was going to be, but there was some interesting information. Some other schools, whether they offer CEP or not, they include it in their registration, which we have it there too, but and they call it something a little bit different. They call it like a educational benefits application or something like that, not tying it to food service and not tying it, I mean, it is tied to income, but just to try to get it like that everyone, because if you see it's an educational benefit, you're like, well, I'm going to sign that up because what if my kid can get something? It helps with our Title IX funding, or Title IX, sorry, don't use that word. Our title funding, like Title I, like for extra reading and stuff, like all that goes off of our free and reduced number. So it helps if some get caught that aren't just caught from the directly certified. So they're not on any type of state benefit, but based on income, they could still qualify. It's better if we have a large amount of people apply, because it's more likely that, you know, they we could get, even the reduced benefit makes a huge difference. I mean, the cost of a reduced meal is...
A lunch is 40 cents.
40 cents.
And breakfast is 30 cents.
Yeah, so it, even if they don't qualify for free, I mean...
That's a state.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
Yeah.
And like, just reading this, I think the gist of it was they want less processed foods.
Yeah.
That's the bottom line, I think.
I agree.
That's what I get out of it. And they're willing to pay.
They are, yeah.
Most of them.
Yeah.
Most of them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, there are some comments in here.
There were even some comments that they weren't as concerned about breakfast.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there's some that say they can't.
But they said they didn't care if they had to pay more money.
They're just happy kids are eating because before there were kids that weren't eating. So.
Yeah.
And that's, we have to worry about them too. So.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But hopefully.
Again, no decision has to be made. I keep up the discussion. So it just discussion, things to think about to make a decision down the road. Because it will be coming. We will have to make the decision.
I was going to say, do we still have time to change for next fall?
It's June.
The June meeting.
June
for the,
it'll need to be made
for the
June.
For the free meal, to offer the free meals for everyone. We would have
to see a breakdown of what it would cost us to do better food and free meals.
I can give you an example for one. Just even the cost of like a chicken patty, so... we can get like 40 servings for maybe $27, where if I go to a grilled chicken breast, it's then 40 servings for $76. So there is a cost. So just like everybody's budget at home, I've got to kind of figure out where we can bring in stuff a little less expensive, and I'll trade that out for the fruits and vegetables. I'll, bring in the fresh stuff.
But then the other question was, do we start with breakfast?
I think that's where the main concern is, looking over these answers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They're not really concerned with the lunch, they're just
lunch, I've actually,
with the breakfast.
I don't know if Kelly's brought that. Since I've started, there's been many things that I've switched over that are already homemade that I've gotten. We go to raw ground beef instead of the stuff that the government gives us. There are things that I have been able to change. I did change. Mm-hmm. Breakfast is the hardest one because of the breakfast in the classroom. When we had breakfast in the cafeteria, we had oatmeal, we had eggs, we had, we had better stuff. But because it has to be what the government says you have
and
to, and these are the products you can get that are prepackaged.
And doing it in the classroom, we hit so
many
more students.
Oh, yes.
So many more students are eating because it's not like taking them off the playground in the morning to eat or like... everyone's there, everyone's eating. Now, it is, again, in the classroom, it's harder. It is more processed. It's more packaged. But so many more kids are taking it and are eating. So we're hitting those that, maybe didn't get breakfast at home. Some of them, my kids, I'm sure, too, they eat double breakfast.
Yes.
They eat a nice, great, make a breakfast sandwich every morning for them, and they're still eating at school.
What happens then if we go back to paying?
Mm-hmm.
If they bring it into the classroom and some parents don't pay, so those kids just sit and watch the others eat, or?
Well, they're, go ahead.
Sorry.
Nope.
It's just like now,
yeah, there are some that don't
eat. That some
they
of the
just
parents
don't want
say,
it,
talk
but
to the teachers and say, I don't want them to have breakfast. It's the same thing.
Yeah.
It would be communication with the teacher.
Well, yeah, because it'd be more important, because right now nobody's paying for that. But, if you start giving it to a kid whose parent doesn't want, so it's going to be a little bit more time consuming.
My 4K at one point when I was paying for breakfast and he was getting a good breakfast at home and eating at school.
Yep.
I was like, what is going on here? But, yeah, it is. It's a conversation, that the parent sets that expectation. And
the eating in the classroom, is that a scheduling thing?
It's part of it.
They
would have to come in earlier. We would have to have more staff. We'd have to have staff
monitoring the lunchroom.
They don't get as much time in the cafeteria either. I don't think, like Kelly said, you're pulling them off the playground.
Yeah.
Well, and we had I was principal with them with them in the cafeteria too, and we had lots of issues with tardiness and stuff. Because you draw that line, like they come in right under when they should be getting to the classroom, like, a minute or two before, but they say, nope, I didn't eat anything for breakfast, I need to go get breakfast. Well, I'm
sorry, I'm not going to tell a five-year-old, yeah. Nope, you don't get to eat because you got dropped off 2 minutes before the bell. Nope, go in and get some breakfast, but, you know, we got to hustle a little bit, and it was a lot to manage, because then the teachers or whoever's in the cafeteria monitoring, they have to get to their classroom because those kids are getting there, and it, you know, it's something to manage, but, yeah, we had lots of, you know, the frequent flyers who like to hang out in the cafeteria for extra long in the morning, things like that, but, yep. And honestly, kids coming in tardy in general, if they come in, and we don't have a huge issue with it, but the handful that do regularly with breakfast in the classroom, they're still getting hit. They still get breakfast because it's there, it's in the yeah. classroom, whereas in the cafeteria, they have to shut it down at some point, and if the kid comes in late, breakfast is done, you know. So in the classroom, they still have the opportunity to eat, even if they're a few minutes late. But.
All right, any other questions? So I guess it'll be on June's agenda?
Yeah, for a decision at least on the free piece of it. And then from there, too, I mean, the board can make whatever decision they want on the extra staffing and stuff.
Okay. All right, any other questions? All right, administrative and support staff compensation.
Every May, this is on the board agenda. It, attached to your agenda is a chart with the budget impact for each percent option for increased compensation. I'm recommending the 3% increase because CPI for July is 2.95, so that's right there. That is the same percent increase that was approved last year. Again, Sarah broke out this chart that shows all of the different categories of staffing and what different percentages would do to the budget. Some of the categories on there you can see no matter what percent, it doesn't change it, and that's because those are set amounts or set increases already put in. It doesn't matter what you vote for or what is decided, I should say. So, yeah, you can see the hit to the budget. It is for administration as well as support staff, the percent increase. Any questions?
Questions? All right. The personnel negotiations recommended 3%, so... All right, next one, C, speech and language pathologist.
Again, the personnel negotiations committee talked about this. So we have been looking for a new speech and language pathologist for a year and a half. We have yet to find one. We have increased the position from a 0.6 FTE to a 1.0 FTE in order to attract a person and have still not been successful. We currently have a candidate who's willing to fill the position at a 0.8 FTE but is virtual. She lives in the Milwaukee area and would do virtual speech services with some of our students. At this point, our options are to offer the contract with this person or contract with a company for virtual speech services. Our director of special education would like to pursue the contract with this person, as then she is our employee and we have more say and ability to work with the person and have that oversight. Her appointment is later in the meeting under action. So obviously this is discussion time to talk about that. But the vote, it's not a separate item. It is just the appointment with her name. So any thoughts? I felt I needed to bring it to the board as it is a virtual position and we've never done that before. You know, schools, we try to do everything obviously yeah. in person. So I'm bringing it forward. It is really just hiring a person, but because it's different and we had to adjust some things in the contract to make it that it's virtual and has that language in there, I felt like the board needed to make that decision.
Is there a significant cost difference between the company versus the person?
The company is more expensive for the same amount of time, but not... like double. I mean, it is more expensive. The company is more.
If we would have her through there, would she get benefits?
She would get benefits.
So then they would pay them, and that would
So if we, like how I'm recommending or what I'm bringing to you, she gets benefits through us.
Mm-hmm.
If we go through a company, then the person, whoever is our person, and it can be a rotating, it
yeah.
may not be just this one specific person, is an employee of that company, and they're responsible for the
so
benefits,
probably,
not the privets.
It, then it should be, I mean, some of the difference in what they charge would be the benefits.
Yes,
and we
absolutely.
Wouldn't have to pay them. But
well, yeah.
I
they,
mean,
basically, what it's very it's similar, but they have an upcharge because the company has to make
yeah,
money versus
yeah.
paying just the person for the services.
I think it's
so.
Better to have the same person all the time.
And that's part of it. I think you were talking. The company might have different people
yeah.
each time.
Yes,
I think. Probably it's best to have the same person all the time.
Yeah, and like all you know, teacher contracts, it is a 1-year contract. It
mm-hmm.
would automatically renew if we don't take action to change that. But you do have the option after a year, if it wasn't working, to say we're not going to do that anymore,
and
we're
going
to go through the company. Or let's say we get somebody
yeah.
who's available in person and wanting to do it after the 1-year contract, we could change that.
And you said this is what Stacy recommended.
Correct.
Can we
okay.
keep the position posted? Just as a, if someone's interested.
A hope and a prayer?
Well, yeah, if someone sees it and says,
mm-hmm.
well, yeah, I think
well,
we'll do that
being,
next year. I know it's a year contract, but
yes, being,
can we keep it posted just as...
I wouldn't keep it posted now, but we could definitely post it early, like
okay.
something more like July, February, instead of like March, April.
Yeah, because ideally for speech, you would want to be face-to-face with someone. So.
Absolutely.
Oh, yes.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So I would say, like, we could post it earlier, but not, you know, because we are offering that contract, we are tied in
right.
for the full year, so.
What kind of equipment will we need? Do they do it via Zoom, telephone?
There's some actually specific speech, I think, software, actually, that they use, and so that would be, we would purchase it and then hold the license for the person to use. Stacy told me the name of the software, and it's Greek to me. In one ear, right out the other.
I'm assuming we have the technology to do this.
Yes.
Sweet.
Who is sleeping?
Yes. And the room.
Yeah. Yep.
All right. Any other questions? So are we good going forward with the single person, not the company? D, summer school staff list.
We have updated staff list for summer school in your packet. We also have the strength and conditioning staff for approval as well.
Questions?
The strength and conditioning is the middle high school. It's the last part of the chart.
Right.
Sarah, we did not get student accident insurance information correct. Okay, we can skip that one.
All right.
I didn't think so, but I wanted to make sure.
E, F, school board calendar.
In your board packet is a copy of a proposed board meeting calendar for the 2025-2026 school year. There are 3 proposed changes. September, because that is during the superintendent's conference in Madison, I think. In Madison, yeah, the April one's moved, and that I will be at in Madison for October. The regular scheduled meeting would be October 15th, and that's when the tax valuations come out, are on the 15th. So, in order to get levy information, we always move it back. So, the proposed would be October 20th, and then the third one is January 21st, is the regular scheduled meeting, and that is during the board convention. So, again. The proposal would be to move it back to Monday the 26th. Everything else stays as scheduled. And as a reminder, the yellow in August, the 25th is the annual meeting with the budget hearing at 6:15 and annual meeting at 6:30. Questions, thoughts, changes to that? Excuse me.
I don't have any.
I don't.
Do those Mondays work? I mean, that's what we've been doing recently, is just moving it back.
Mm-hmm.
Again, which we do move it back instead of forward, just in case someone didn't get the information that it got moved and they show up on the night that it's regularly scheduled.
they haven't missed it. We'll move it back so that they, you know, still have the opportunity to make it.
Anybody have any problems with those dates? No? Sweet. Nope. G, community ed supervisor position. I don't even think we need to talk about this because the personnel negotiations decided to just not change anything with it.
So it's a 28-hour per week position year-round that we will look at filling.
Great. 10 items scheduled for action appointments. Number one, elementary teacher.
Amanda Chapman and Jennifer LeBlanc are recommended for approval as elementary teachers.
I'll make the motion.
Motion by Kim.
I'll second.
Seconded by Caitlin. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstention? Motion carried. Number two, elementary special ed teacher.
Haley Miller is recommended for approval as elementary special education teacher.
I make the motion.
Motion by Chris.
Second.
Seconded by Sunny. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carried. Number three, speech and language pathologist.
All right. Lauren Eichstedt?
Yep.
I don't know how to say that. Is recommended for approval as a speech and language pathologist.
I make the motion.
Motion by Chris.
Second.
Seconded by Caitlin.
I do have a question. Do you have to include that it's a one-year contract only?
No.
Okay.
They're all one-year.
The contract, yeah.
All right. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carried. Number four, summer custodial lawn helper.
Austin Doyen is recommended for approval as a summer custodial lawn helper.
I'll make that motion.
Motion by Lyle.
Second.
Seconded by Sunny. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carried. Number five, volunteers and chaperones.
There's a list of volunteers and chaperones included in your packet. You may approve them individually or as a group.
I make a motion to approve the group.
Motion by Kim.
Second.
Seconded by Sunny. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carried. B, administrative and support staff compensation.
Board is asked to approve a 3% increase for administrative and support staff for the 2025-2026 school year.
I make the motion that we approve a 3% raise in the compensation for the administration and support staff.
Motion by Chris.
I'll second it.
Seconded by Lyle. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carried. C, summer school staff list.
The board is asked to approve the summer staff list.
I'll make a motion to approve the summer school staff list.
Motion by Sunny.
I'll second it.
Seconded by Lyle. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carried. D, we can skip.
Yep.
E, school board calendar.
What about the student?
Nope, we didn't get it.
Okay.
The board is asked to the board is asked to adopt the school board meeting calendar for the 2025-2026 school year.
I'll make a motion to adopt a calendar.
Motion by Kim.
Second.
Seconded by Chris. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carried. F, we don't have to do anything because we're not doing anything. Take a motion to adjourn.
Make the motion.
Oh.
A second.
Motion by Sunny. Seconded by Chris. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carried. We're adjourned at 6:45.